Elisha died and was buried. Every year, bands of Moabites used to invade the land of Israel. One time during a funeral, one of those bands was seen, and the people threw the corpse into Elisha's tomb and ran off. As soon as the body came into contact with Elisha's bones, the man came back to life and stood up. 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. In a sense not exactly intended by Shakespeare, the good in Elisha's case was interred with his bones. A corpse thrown into contact with them comes to life. There are all sorts of things, I suppose, that the preacher might do with this incident described in our text. Suspicious that his hearers find this particular miracle somewhat challenging to their faith, the preacher might launch into a vigorous defense of the miraculous content of Christianity. Or he might see in the incident a stirring tribute to the prophet Elisha. What better confirmation of his life and mission than for God to work this miracle through Elisha in his death? Or the preacher might see in the event a foreshadowing of the life we were to derive centuries later from the death and tomb of our Lord. That is, Elisha might be treated as a type of Christ. Or the preacher might point out the familiar discrepancy between appearance and reality, suggesting that the grave we dread is not at all the dead end it seems to be, but in fact, a passage to life. If nothing else, the preacher might infer from this miracle the actuality of eternal life, arguing that Elisha, ostensibly dead, was not really dead. For look, God still performed miracles through him. God was still operative in him. And God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. With varying degrees of legitimacy, or illegitimacy if you insist, all these things could be done with our text. In the context of this Institute for the Ministry, however, one other possibility occurred to me. And I submitted to you this morning with mixed feelings of enthusiasm and timidity. Enthusiasm over a creative approach to the gospel that the Bible has suggested to me, but timidity at the prospect that my treatment of this text might be homiletically in left field. At any rate, what now follows is what crossed my mind. Might not the miracle of the corpse of Elisha, transforming the corpse of another man into a living being, suggest the miracle of what we commonly call mission work? The miracle that God works through you and me, when others, through contact with us, are brought to spiritual life. For look, what are we really? Spiritual corpses, aren't we? Dead, much too dead. Of us too, the Bible says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And though, thank God, Christ's death and resurrection have made us alive, there is still a remnant of death left in us. The Bible calls it the flesh. And all too often, this flesh is more than a remnant. It is a kingdom. Every day we bump up against it, from the stroke we fail to count on the 12th hole to the weekend orgy of drinking and petting and gossiping. There it is. Flesh. 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 Like Paul, we have the horrendous experience of seeing another law in our members, warring against the law of our mind, and bringing us into captivity to the law of sin, which is in our members. And like him, we cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So bad do things look at times that it seems we resemble Elisha in his grave, ostensibly more dead than alive. And yet, wonder of wonders, through this spiritual cadaver, God works. In this death, there is life. Even as in the buried Elisha, there was life. A life that proves a source of life to others. It is the life of God. It may appear to be just a glimmer, but watch out. It does things. Other people, totally dead in trespasses and sins, coming into contact with us, are brought to spiritual life. A miracle happens. The miracle is God's, to be sure. But we, more dead than alive we, are the channels for that miracle. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, what's the point this morning of this rather far-fetched comparison between Elisha in his grave and us in this chapel? Well, 3 points, to be exact. 1, a fleeting glimpse into the marvelous workings of God. Let us therefore praise him. 2, a devastating insight into the ordinariness of ourselves, the instruments of God's marvelous working. Let us therefore be humble now and in our future ministry. 3, a comforting reassurance that bad as things look, our death, like Elisha's, is perhaps more apparent than actual. That there still is life in us, and where there's life, there's hope. Let us therefore thank God for it and be about our Father's business. Amen. We rise for prayer.